Let me go.
Snapbacks and tattoos.
Okay.
Snapbacks and tattoos. Nice whips, fly chicks, yeah. All that. Cause
that's what we on, right?
Snapbacks and tattoos.
That's what we on.
Snapbacks and tattoos. Nice whips, fly chicks, all that. Cause cash rules. Show off your hats.
Really?
Show off your everybody. Tats. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Talk Back. I'm your host, Calvin Moore. And today on the line, we have with us Christian hip-hop recording artist Decipha, who is here to talk about his new LP or multiple albums. We'll get into that in just a second. But Decipha, thanks so much for hopping on the line with us today.
What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing well. Doing really, 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 really well. And you're hopping on the line to talk about your new project, Analytics. Now help me understand. So far, we have three chapters. The first chapter had three songs. The second chapter had four songs, and the third chapter also had four songs. Is this an album that you're releasing? Is it or an album in multiple parts? Are they supposed to be considered separate albums? How are you viewing this Analytics project that you're working on?
It's nine albums.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's very, very small. So it's like nine LPs, in which I'm literally just going through things that I normally think about and talk about and minister about. And so instead of just putting out 40 tracks in a long mixtape, I decided to break them up into chapters because I already had them broken up on the album within those different chapters and sections. And so I'm the type that I try never to do anything arbitrarily. And so they all have pretty much the same point to examine the Lord and your heart and the world and through the gospel and to come to the Lord in repentance and to grow and to see him as more and more beautiful. And so, again, we go from misconception all the way until Representatives, which is the last chapter. So, yeah.
Okay. So, nine chapters, of which there are currently three out. How are you planning on spacing these things out? Are they already all done? Are you still working on stuff? How's it all working?
Well, I mean, my network's growing here, so I have finished, I would say, 75% of it, and the other 25% of it is literally just stuff that I'm thinking about concerning the mixtape. So videos here and there, or little stuff like that, blogs and things that I'm still tweaking while I'm working on it. So the recording and stuff, that's pretty much done. I mean, there's a little stuff I'm going to go back in and probably fix up a little bit, but for the most part, it's pretty much done. I just want to put it out. I want people to soak on certain parts for a month and before they get the next part.
Okay, that's kind of cool and very, very ambitious, very different than what I think a lot of artists do. I know, I think within Christian hip-hop, and you can correct me if I'm wrong or if you know, I think the first Christian hip-hop artist to do anything along these lines was Grits back in the day when they did Dichotomy A and Dichotomy B.
Yeah,
those were two full albums. You're releasing this, it looks like, over the span of a year. I mean, you released the first one back in November, and now you just released Chapter 3 a few days ago, and now we're in February. So how long do you plan on spacing these out, over this year, or are we going to go into 2014 as well?
No, it'll be once a month.
Okay.
December was a little tricky because I released the first chapter kind of at the end of December, and I'm sorry, the end of November going into December, so I kind of skipped December and then went into January. But once a month is what I'm shooting for. Again, it's an Easter egg hunt. I want people to really analyze and take their time listening to the melodic line of things that I'm talking about, which is the I feel like is the same thing within each chapter. But I want people to talk about, you know, that chapter. So this chapter is manhood and biblical manhood and fatherlessness and stuff like that, you know, and the next chapter will be sort of the same line. So, yeah.
I think it might be interesting, and this is me being ambitious. Maybe every three albums that comes out, every three chapters that comes out, we'll do another interview. I think that can kind of be cool to kind of tackle some of the stuff that you've tackled in the songs. Because right now, obviously, you know, I'm at a loss. I don't know what's coming in chapter 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. But I do have what's in chapter 1, 2, and 3 in front of me right now. And so let's talk a little bit. Let's dive into each chapter real quick. I know James Arnold, who's one of our reviewers, actually already kind of talked to you when he was talking to Kareem Manuel, and he and I were talking tonight. And so some of our questions may overlap because I'm about to post that interview, I think, on Friday as a post time. That'll be the 15th of February. But I wanted to kind of give you, again, a little bit of your own space to talk more about the project, because back when he talked to you, only chapter one was out, and now we've got three. So let's dive a little bit into this project. You've talked about why you split it up. You talk about what's in the name of analytics. Talk a little bit about chapter one. The belief. What were you trying to communicate in those three songs?
Yep. Okay, so the belief literally is I don't want to move without having an understanding of why, and that's pretty much how I feel like the Bible kind of shows us, you know. We don't just do things for the sake of doing it. You know, we don't just believe things for the sake of believing it, but we believe it because it's a heart. Behind it, a heart that's submitted to God. And so I wanted to kind of just dive into what the Christians believe in a sense. I mean, I didn't go into every nuance of it, but I did want to just kind of say, look, the Bible itself is a case study of your heart, and it leads us to repentance at the end of the day, and then to grow in more and more love towards our King and our Maker. So that set the basis, along with the prologue, that set the basis of what we believe, and then going forward, the different things that we have problems with when it comes to that belief, or people coming against that belief. So yeah.
Okay. So then you move into chapter two, which is titled Misconception, and I like the flow. It seems like it's, you know, as I listened from chapter one to chapter two to chapter three, I could kind of see the turn of the page in terms of the theme that you're discussing and hitting on, but there wasn't what I would consider a jolted feel, like, oh, wow, this came out of nowhere. We just totally changed subjects. I really feel like there's kind of a nice smooth flow and transition between the chapters. So let's talk a little bit about moving into chapter two, which is titled Misconception. What did you want to communicate there in those four songs? What did you want to communicate? And why is one called Untitled? Why do artists release untitled tracks? Is it because you couldn't come up with a name? Or I've never understood the untitled track thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything deep behind the why I called it Untitled, but that was actually my favorite song within that chapter, simply because it said exactly where the chorus said exactly. So Misconception, basically, in my opinion, we're so susceptible to so many things because of the culture we live in. So there's so many things competing for our attention and our time and our joy, right? And I feel like we need to analyze what we say we believe and also make sure what we believe is not based on how we feel necessarily, even though I do feel like feelings are they do play a part in what we believe. They don't drive our belief. As a matter of fact, our belief drives our feelings. And so a lot of times we're deceived to think that, well, if I just get married, I'll be okay with this lust. I won't need it. Or maybe if I go to this church because they're bigger, that'll, you know, that means I'm doing it right. Or, you know, just different things that because it happens this way and the masses are shouting it, it looks like it's okay.
Right.
And the Bible doesn't really give that answer. The Bible really says that, yo, look, Christ really is the answer. And it never really looks like what you really think is going to be, but it does land on him, and it draws you to him and look to him as the answer. So misconception simply is my own heart and my own thoughts. I grew up in a very charismatic, prosperity church, and I thought we were doing it. Now, mind you, I do believe I was saved back then. But it wasn't until I got around guys that really, really loved the Lord, that really sought to show me scripture in a loving manner, that I started to see, wow, that's what I used to believe was not really good. Even though God kept me through these years, right, by his grace, I was duped.
Yeah.
It also allows me to show love to other people who might be duped. So instead of me going around saying, you're wrong about this, it helps me see, because I've been deceived so long, it helps me to see, man, hey, man, why don't you come with me, and I can show you a more correct path through the gospel and by his grace. So I felt like that it kind of went to part two of the belief. Now, what do you think you believe?
Okay, and that's really interesting. You and I had very similar backgrounds. I kind of grew up in that same prosperity background and moved out of it probably more into, I don't have to name the specific type of theology that I moved into, but I think you and I have very similar theological underpinnings at this point. But this isn't about all that, and like mine is better than yours and all that, but it's, you know, it's really interesting to move out of error, and to think, hey, yeah, again, I'm doing it right. I got this handled. I know the Lord, and this is how the Lord thinks. And then to get into true, biblical teaching and understand, wow, you know, I really didn't understand. I had a lot of misconceptions. And so I think that particular chapter really kind of resonated with me. But I think a chapter that is going to resonate with a lot of guys, and you're seeing a lot of this come out of Christian hip-hop, or at least in the last few years we've seen it come out of Christian hip-hop, tackling the issue of manhood. Because, you know, a lot of guys don't have male leadership in the home, or don't even know their fathers, and we'll get into Tears of the Son in just a minute here. Yeah. But I mean, I just had a friend who just gave birth to a son, and the dad wants nothing to do with the situation, so he's totally abandoned at the moment. Hopefully, you know, God will get a hold of him. But as of right now, he wants nothing to do with his own son, and I'm like, wow, just another statistic, just another guy who doesn't understand manhood, another guy who's running from responsibility, another guy who's going to grow up without, you know, a father figure in their own life. And so... Yeah. Talk a little bit about why you decided. I mean, that's why it resonated with me. I want to know why you decided to tackle the issue of manhood within this analytics project that you've released.
Okay. Well, I believe a lot of things are based on men leading. A lot of the issues are laid solely at the feet of the fact that men aren't standing up to be the men God called them to be. Not to jump back, but I had a song on chapter 2 called True Religion. And at the very last verse, it said, you know, what you was looking stylish and you're kind of true religion. And so for a long time, growing up in the churches I went to, it looked okay because they presented it well, not necessarily because it was actually true. So for me, being a man, was making sure I had my 501c, I'm sorry, 501c, make sure I had all my money straight, and make sure I had, you know, I could tell somebody what to do and not really, you know, have anybody tell me what to do and have my ducks all in order, right? And so I go into generations where I realize, man, I'm really screwed up. I'm not as together as I thought I was. And I look back, and I just did my ancestry on Ancestry.com within the last few months, and I found out that my family came out of slavery, out of Alabama, because my great-great-granddad slept with one of his slaves and had a wife named Jane, who was white. So we had two family lines, and so lust had already played a part in my family blood from the beginning, and I'm not even going behind him. I'm talking about just getting to America. My slave owner had already adulterous relations.
Hmm.
And then you get down to Decipher, who day after day, growing up, even until now, I'm still dealing with thoughts and heart issues. And so the other day I tweeted, marriage only messes up what is already messed up, meaning if you are already dealing with sin issues in your heart and in your mind and in your life, marriage only enhances that, and all it does is just amp that up if we don't
absolutely
touch it beforehand. And so that was literally the focal point of it, that we want to be able to pursue godliness but recognize where we come from and what we're dealing with, because a lot of the issues could be answered if you knew what you were dealing with in the first place.
All right. Now, this project, of course, is different than your first project, Rep, which came out in 2010. So it's been a couple of years, 3 years since your first project came out. And I remember hearing you for the first time, and not to make your head get big or ego to grow or anything like that, but I remember thinking when I first heard this, you know, who is this guy? This is really great stuff. Because at the time, I think that, you know, Christian hip-hop was kind of growing up and still continuing to grow up and make strides. I mean, you got, you know, people like Lecrae, who is, you know, arguably the de facto leader at the top of things, winning a Grammy the other day, which, you know, all glory to God for that. That's who he gave glory to, and obviously got to give credit where credit is due. He's using his talent and kind of rubbing elbows with different people. But in order to get where he has gone, his philosophy on certain things has changed, and he and I have talked about that, and I agree to some degree with that. Whereas I look at what Rep was, and I even look at what analytics is, and I think that you're in a stream that people are what I would consider unnecessarily moving away from. Everybody's trying to follow the Lecrae and forgetting, hey, you know, there's still kind of this didactic hip-hop that's needed. In church, you know, for the edification of the body, to grow people and to make them think about, you know, who it is that I'm serving and how do I think about him rightly. And I really think that's where Decipher falls in, whereas, you know, Lecrae is out kind of in the culture doing his thing. I want you to talk about the state of Christian hip-hop for a minute here. I mean, you haven't been around as long as, say, like Ambassador or somebody like that. Mm-hmm. Has been able to kind of look at or Stephen Wiley. I'm going to go way back for a second. But that was the first Christian hip-hop artist I ever heard. It was Stephen Wiley with his Bible Break back in the 80s. But I want you to talk about the state of Christian hip-hop. Do you think we're in a good place or we're in a bad place? And what is your place within all of that? Well, you have to think we're in a good place to a degree because you're still releasing Christian hip-hop. What do you see your role is within Christian hip-hop specifically? So
okay.
Talk about the state of Christian hip-hop and what's your role in it.
Okay, so you want me to talk about my role first?
Yeah, talk about your role first.
Okay. I think my role is literally just to make God known within my lyrics. I don't have a problem saying stuff and with about the gospel, about anything theological, but also I don't have a problem calling out things that I see don't vibe well with the biblical doctrine. And so, and I think that's just the way God, things just rub off of me very easily in that sense of kind of apologetics. But the state of hip-hop and from what I've seen a lot of good things. A ton of good things. So, of course, Lecrae just won a Grammy, you know, and that really does do a lot for Christian hip hop. In my opinion, it's a sigh of relief. Like, man, that's what's up. Like, God is being glorified even in that arena. Whereas before, you know, we would be happy if somebody mentioned someone's name in an interview, you know. But yeah, that was great. There's a lot of guys coming out with albums, you know. So you got Cannon about to come out with his album, and he's a young guy who I've grown up with, honestly. Yeah, I mean, Shy Lin, he's one of my favorite dudes in the world. Just seeing his growth and him seeing other people grow and helping other people grow. So I just preached at our church last week, and it was just like, man, Lord, you are good. You know, and then even some of the ladies, you know, Susie Rock, you know, that's great. And then she's inspired other young ladies to come alongside, even though there have been ladies out there before. So, and then also there's been some not so good stuff that's happened, which don't help with Christian hip hop. So obviously there's been people that have had different issues here and there and kind of falling off and, you know, personal issues, and then, you know, different people, you know, in marriage and stuff like that. But all in all, I do think God uses all of that to get his glory. And Christian hip hop, again, it's just another tool God uses to bring folks to him and to help them see the gospel. So that's pretty much where we're at. I do think we have a long way to go. I do think it all is needed. So you do need the guys rapping in the clubs, and you also need the guys rapping in the Madison Square, and you do need some guys in the local church, and you need some guys preaching the gospel in the prosperity churches and little venues and big venues, right? And so if we could literally just see Christ glorified in the arena that we're in and not covet over somebody else's platform, I think Christian hip hop will be even better off as we work through our own heart issues and praise other people for making it here and just worship God in our realm. So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So what's next? I mean, obviously you got a few albums coming out still. What's the next one called? And what is next for you as an artist? When this project is all in the can, when it's all released, analytics is out, what's next for you? And why did you decide to release this for free, or let people like pay their own name their price?
Okay. Well, I don't know if you remember, but when I put Rep out back in 2010, I took a year off. So I was dealing with a lot of sin issues myself within my own heart. Secondly, I was trying to get married at the same time. Being around the body that I've been around here in Chicago, they thought it was best for me, and I thought the same thing, to take a backseat, refocus, and literally just put things in order. So the difference between Rep and what I'm doing now is I'm married. And I see things from a different angle, right? That's pretty much where I'm at. The next chapter is called, the name just totally jumped out of my head. The next chapter is called Fall in Action. And I'm literally just, I don't even really mention Jesus that much in this. It's literally, I'm playing the role of somebody who would rather do without God, right? So I got a song called Prada and Gucci on there, you know, just going in about how I want that book. Mug and then smoking marijuana, and I want the lights and the camera and the action on me, right? But because we know there's a difference within the gospel, my whole point is how we're not that far away from it outside of the grace of God. We're not that far away from Hugh Hefner and Hitler and all these guys who we can look at and say, yeah, he's definitely a sinner. You know, we're not that far away from that. If it's not for the grace of God. So Fall in Action is the next chapter. But then after analytics is done, before analytics is done, I want to start working on my new album, which will be called Presents. It will be the follow-up to Rep. I don't have a date for it. I don't have any specifics for you, but that is the hope. So God willing, that'll be in the plate. And there might be some stuff in between that too, which I'm not at the privilege to name yet. So that's where I'm going to leave that.
Okay, just a couple more questions. I know I said I only keep you for a few, but since I got you, I'm gonna ask you. One, you have worked with a few people on analytics. Kareem Manuel, obviously, you guys have worked together for a while now, formerly known as Catalyst. And then also you have Lamar Sims on this project. That's what we've seen so far. Who have we got kind of – is there anybody kind of in the cooker for the rest of analytics, or are you keeping that close to the vest?
Well, I haven't had Kane on anything. So he's in the works. I got a few young ladies that that are going to be on certain things. So I'll let you know about that when that happens.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
Just wanted to know. You know, I like to know what's going on in the world. Kind of, you know, give people spoilers, so to speak. So I got to know another thing though. I've always been impressed with rappers who can rap fast. I like people like Cannon, obviously, and you know, you were the first person I heard before Cannon, you know, obviously before, you know, he's kind of a new around the block and you've been on a little bit longer than he has. And then obviously there's KB and so when you're doing that, I can understand you. Sometimes I can't understand some of the guys who are rapping fast. Like they're just saying syllables. I got to talk to KB one time and he said they're just saying syllables. I was like, oh, okay. But then you rap fast, but I can understand every single word that you're saying and the concepts that you were trying to communicate. Is that something that you train yourself on, or is it something that you were just naturally gifted at? How does someone get that fast?
Yes. So when it comes to tongue twisting, for me, and I think Kareem Manuel will echo this, when I was in school growing up, I used to practice a lot of cross movement in battles. But I also used in my arsenal, my cousin moved into my house growing up, and so we weren't allowed to have secular music in the house. When he moved in, he brought in Bone Thugs and Harmony and Twista and Eminem and Jay-Z and Ludacris. I am an actor at heart, so my goal was to master their craft as best as possible and mush it all together for the glory of God. But I would literally bite with them when I was in high school because nobody knew a Twista in Virginia you know what I'm saying, 2001. Like, nobody knew that. And nobody knew a cross movement either. So I'm doing my own thing. Without Christ, it ain't spiritual. All it is a bunch of spare rituals. And I'm saying stuff like that. And they're like, whoa, you're talking about Jesus. But today, what I'm doing, I practice. Obviously, you know, knowing the Lord and being around and practicing the gospel in my heart, but also literally just practicing. And so the lips, the teeth, the tip of the tongue, and all that type of stuff. I want to be able to present my gift as best as possible and also have a point with it. Again, I don't really try to do anything just arbitrarily. So every lyric I want to make sure has something to do with something. So which is why I try to put my lyrics up most of the time. And so that's literally what I tell young dudes, you know, like, man, practice in prayer, man. Like that's I want to make sure I get every syllable out there as, you know, strategic as I can so that you can understand it and hopefully run with it. So yes, practice is the main key to that.
That's the key. Okay. All right. Well, Josiah, but thanks so much for taking the time to hop on the line and talk about what's coming down the pipeline. I want to catch up with you. I'm going to wait till the next three drop, and then I want to those next three, and then when the final three come out, I'd love to talk about those three, and then kind of, you know, what you've learned from the whole process of releasing all of these. Before I let you go, tell our listeners where they can find out more about you. And because you release these albums for free or kind of name your price, tell people where they can find Analytics Chapter 1, 2, and 3.
Yep. So you can go to my website, www.deciphermusic.com, Decipher, D-E-C-I-P-H-A, music.com. And everything's for free on there. besides Rep, which is only $7 or so. Yeah, decipheredmusic.com.
All right, cool. And if you're going to pick up analytics, people, definitely pick up Rep as well. If this is the first time you ever hear into Decipher. That album was just kind of mind-blowing, and I think that it has stood the test of time in my book. It's 3 years old at this point, but it is just as fresh when I listen to it. I listen to the album like every day, people, so especially that everybody talking about heaven ain't going. I love that part. I sang that in college. We actually sang that song
too,
in college. So
yes, I was in a quartet too.
Okay, that's cool. See, we sang that part. We sang that song, and I kept going, I know this. And I took it to my chorus professor. And I was like, listen to this song, because this dude's using the song that we used. And I couldn't remember what piece it was. It was part of a larger medley. And so I was like, it was really dope to hear that and then to hear it go into the second track. So people, definitely pick up Rep. Definitely pick up Analytics. Good stuff. Decipher, thanks so much for taking the time to hop on the line. And I'll catch you on the flip side of the next three. And we'll kind of go over those and kind of do another interview.
Thanks, bro. I really appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you later, man.
Okay, I can tell them. I can see the way they're coming. Looking up and down the money like I really get the courtesy to benefit.